Okay, good morning, everybody. Chodesh Tov, again Chodesh. Today being the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet. We should be zeichet to truly a month of Simcha, and the Yehudim Haisa Ora v'Simcha v'Sason v'Ikar, Kein Ti Alanu. So it should be for us in our day, in our time, Be'ezrat Hashem. Just a calendar reminder, there's no Shir next week. I will be away, I've been announcing this for the past 2 weeks. And then there's no Shir the week after because it's Purim. So I'm sorry, I told them last night, my Wednesday night shir also, the way it falls out, because I'm away next week, Meretz Hashem, and then it's Purim, we're unfortunately missing 2 weeks in a row, but then we do have, after that, Thursday after Purim. So the next shir here will be Be'ezrat Hashem on March the 24th, okay? After today, the next shir will be March 24th. 10th I'm away, 17th is Purim. Okay, so after today, I'll see you on the 24th, Meretz Hashem. Okay, so let's get started with our learning. So it is Parshas Pekudei, which ends the book of Shemot, Shabbat Chazak, and the Mishkan has been completed, and all the Avodas HaMishkan has been completed. This past Shabbos, we were in West Hempstead on a scholar in residence. We had a very beautiful Shabbos, a congregation on Shei Shabbat. It was very meaningful. So I went on my shiurim, I was speaking about the Kiyor. And in the beginning of the shiur, I gave a little virtual tour of all the things that are in the Mishkan, just so we understand what we're talking about. Last week was Vayaka, so. And I gave a little virtual tour before I got to the Kiyor on the point of the shiur. And I start off by saying how beautiful these parashios are and how meaningful and how there's so much to learn from Mishkan. These are some of my favorite parashios. So someone approached me after. There were a lot of people there. The truth is, I don't even know this person's name, so I couldn't say with the name if I knew it. But he approached me and he said, everything was great. I have one complaint. You couldn't possibly mean that these parashios are so interesting and you love them. It must have been a lie. And my husband was with me and my husband saw my face. I was first speechless. And I said, it was not a lie. I said, I'm sorry, you're not learning these parashios correctly. So if you find them boring, then you should come at 10 shir more. Okay? Or check out some shir mamayu Torah that I've given. They're so amazing. So on this week's parasha, we finish the Mishkan. It's Parshas Pekudei. And the Hashem Shechina dwells atop the Mishkan. And the work is completed. We are going to be speaking about today the relationship between Mishkan and Shabbos, as we are going to see in multiple places in the Chumash. So I'm actually beginning in Sefer Bereishis, okay? For to make it easy on this Chumash, it's on page 8, okay? Just to make it very easy. For those at home, we're going to the last pasuk of Perek Aleph, okay? Perek Aleph, pasuk Lamed Aleph, okay? Please turn to Perek Aleph, pasuk Lamed Aleph. So this is the end of Ma'isa Bereishis. The whole world has been created. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was evening, it was morning, the sixth day. So we know we begin the night, the day begins at night, Yom HaShishi. Why is there a Hei HaYedia? By all the other days of creation, there is no knowing or identifying Hei Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi, Yom Chamishi. Why is it Yom HaShishi, the sixth day? There's no Hei HaYedia by the others. So Rashi says, Hosif Hei B'Shishi, Bigmar Ma'ase Bereishis, Lo Mar Shehit Anaimehem, Amenashi, Kablu Alei Mishra Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So Hashem added, there's a Hei added to HaShishi, because it's referring to a specific the sixth day. Hashem made a stipulation with creation that the world would only continue to exist as long as Israel accepts upon themselves the Torah, Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Now, what day did Israel accept upon themselves? Oh, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, that's the second part. The gematria of Hey is 5. Yom HaShishi, the Hey being 5. The world will only continue to exist now that everything's been finished. You should know it only exists if Israel accepts upon themselves the 5 books of Torah. Davar acher, Yom HaShishi, Kulam Tluim Ve'omdim Ad Yom HaShishi, Hu Shishi B'Sivan. So the whole world was standing, hanging in suspense, would the world continue to be or not? And it was only decided when Israel said Nasa V'Nishma on the sixth day being Vav Sivan, the day of Matan Torah. So you see that the whole world depends upon Torah, whether it's the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Gematria of Hei, or the six of Sivan. So the whole world depends upon Torah. So the Maisi say Vayhi Ere Vayhi Boker Yom Hashishi? Perak Beis Pasuk Aleph. Vayichudu Hashemayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am. The heavens and the earth and all of its hosts were finished. Vayichal Elokim Bayom Hashvi Melachto Asher Asa. And Elokim finished on the seventh day the work that he did. Vayishbos Bayom Hashvi Mikom Melachto Asher Asa. And he ceased on the seventh day from all the work that he did. I just want to see what Art School translates. Abstained. I said ceased. Okay. Because the real word of Shavat is not rest, even though we say that Shabbos means rest. Shavat actually means cessation. Okay? It's a pasuk in Eicha, in a difficult sense, Shavat misos libenu nehapach le'evil mecholenu. Because of Chorban, Shavat misos libenu, the joy in our hearts has ceased. Okay, so we translate it as Rosh Shabbos, but really it's a day of cessation. According to Art School, abstained. Vayishbos v'yam hashvi mekom lachter asher asa, perek beis pasuk gimel, vayivarech Elokim es yam hashvi vayikadesh oso, and Elokim blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it, kivo Shavat mekom lachter asher bara Elokim lasos, because on this day he ceased from all the work that Elokim created in order to do. So the whole world was completed and everything was ready, except that what was missing from creation. Everything had been done in the 6 days, including mankind. The only thing the world was missing was Shabbos, Basa, Shabbos, Basa, Menucha. Shabbos came, and Menucha came, say Chazal. So I begin by quoting from Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zatzal, in a little book called Growing Up. It was one of the last books that he published. It's called Growing Up. He wrote it when he was close to 90. Okay? Creation on the seventh day. And he quotes this pasuk perek beis pasuk beis vayichal Elokim beyam hashvi melachto asher asa. On the seventh day, Hashem completed his work, and he ceased on the seventh day. Rashi poses the obvious question. I forgot to show you Rashi. Let's do that first, okay? Rabbi Shimon Amar. Oh no, that's the first one. Forget the first pshat of Rashi. The first pshat of Rashi is, how could it say, I'll just tell you outside, God finished on the seventh day. I thought nothing was created on the seventh day. He finished on the seventh day. Didn't he finish on the sixth day before the seventh day? So Rashi says a human being cannot count the exact millisecond of time. So we bring in Shabbos early. But Hashem knows the exact fraction, obviously, of a fraction of a fraction of time. So it looked like he was created on the seventh day, but it was right still on the sixth day, right before Shabbos. But davar achar, maha haya ha'olam chaser. What was the world missing? I told it to you outside. Menucha, the world was missing rest. Bas Shabbos, bas menucha. So what was the world missing? What did Hashem need to create on the seventh day? In other words, Rashi is giving you two pshatim of what it means God finished on the seventh day. The first pshat is, don't worry, he didn't create on the seventh day. He did nothing on the seventh day. We just perceive it's the seventh day because we don't understand the fraction of a second of time. But the Davar Acher, quoting Medrash Bereishis Rabba, is that God did actually create something on the seventh day. And what did he create on the seventh day? Menucha, he created rest. I told it to you outside before. What was the world missing? The world was missing menucha. And when did Hashem create this menucha? On the seventh day. So vayichalukim bayom hashvi. Yes, tacha. Taka, something was created on the seventh day. So now I go to Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky Zatzal. Rashi poses the obvious question. How can the verse say Hashem finished his work on the seventh day? What does that mean? Since the work of creation was completed on the sixth day, and we thought Hashem did nothing on the seventh day. Rashi, quoting Rabbi Shimon, says that a human being, oh, I told this to you already, cannot know the precise moment of time when one day ends at another, so we cease working earlier in advance. However, Hashem knows the exact split second. Rashi then provides an alternative, a davar acha, another explanation. After everything was created, there was still one thing lacking. Ma haya olam chaser. What was the world missing? And Rashi tells us, quoting the Medrash, Menucha. The world was missing this idea of rest. When Hashem rested on the seventh day, the work of creation was completed. The alternate explanation was necessary because the first explanation is there was no creation on the seventh day. But to the eye of the observer, it appears that there was. The second explanation is there was indeed creation on the seventh day. Hashem Taka created something. He created rest. The problem with this idea that Hashem created rest on the seventh day, although it did not require any action, was nevertheless a creation. So did Hashem create on the seventh day? And if he did, what does that mean? Because we thought we rest and cease on the seventh day, because Hashem rested and ceased on the seventh day. Furthermore, we find something similar, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, in the phenomenon of darkness. We say in davening, in the Berakos of Kriya Shema, Yotzer or Uvore Choshech, he fashioned light and created darkness. One might think when there is no light, so there's automatically dark, so that there was no creation of darkness. It's ergo, if there's no light, so ergo, then there's dark. No, the Torah commentaries say, although we may not understand it exactly, there was a creation of darkness. Darkness is not simply the absence of light. Darkness is its own creation. Similarly, the absence of work is not yet rest. Hashem needed to create this idea, this reality of Menucha. So do you understand? Yotzer uvore choshech. So you think because the sun sets, it's dark. So it's a natural consequence of no light. Natural consequence of no light is that it will be dark. No, bore or yotzer uvore choshech. Even if we can't understand exactly what it means, darkness is its own creation. So too Shabbos, just because you can't understand what it means, you think if Hashem ceased, there's automatically rest. But no, Hashem created this idea of Menucha. Okay, that's first of all a very interesting idea. Next, which I think teaches us something very important actually. I didn't think about this when I was preparing or when I originally read this a few years ago. I just saw something, mamish now as I'm speaking. I think that teaches us a fundamentally important idea of our lives of human beings. Because we have a mitzvah, v'alach de'bedrachav, to emulate the ways of God. So just because you stop your labor does not mean you're at rest. And I think if you think of it like this, in human terms, it's much easier to understand this difficult to understand concept. You might stop your labor, but it does not mean you are at rest. You need to work at creating a state of menucha for yourself. A state of menuchas hanefesh. Just because you cease work, it does not mean you're necessarily at rest. And when you think about it perhaps from your own busy life, Baruch Hashem, it's a true reality. You might not be working, but you might not be at rest. So rest is independent to not working. Not working is one thing. Cessation is one thing. And being in a state of being, of menucha, is an entirely different thing than simply cessation of work. And if you think about it like this, it makes a lot of sense. But now the kasha is, how could Hashem create anything on Shabbos? So now, this is our segue into Mishkan, because he quotes from the Pasuk in Parshas Ki Tisa. Right? You could turn, because we're going to be going there. So turn to answer our question, go to Parshas Sefer Shemos, Perek Lamed Aleph. Kitisa is Chet HaEgel, but the beginning of Kitisa is about Machatzisa Shekel for the silver sockets, and it's about the Ketoras HaSamim. We spoke about that extensively this year. It's about the Kiyor. It's about Bitsalo and Ohaliyav. Turn to 31. 17. Beinu, page 492 on this Chumash. Lamed Aleph Yud Zayin in Sefer Shemos. And this Chumash, page 492. Beinu Uvein V'nei Yisrael, Os Hili Olam. Shabbos is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Ki Sheishas Yamim Asa Hashem Esa Shemayim V'Esa Aretz. In 6 days Hashem made the heavens and the earth. V'yam Ashvi'i. And on the 7th day, Shavat, he rested. He ceased. V'yinafash. And he nefesh. So what does this mean? So Rabbi Dr. Tursky quotes, what is Shabbos? What does it mean, Hashem vayinafash? And he nefesh. He quotes the Sfarno, who says, Hashem instilled a nefesh into Shabbos. Kivo Shavat mikom alachdo. On this day he ceased from all his work. But what did Shabbos need? A nefesh. Vayinafash is Hashem gave Shabbos a nefesh. That's according to the Sfarno. Says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, what would Shabbos have been without a nefesh? It would have been lifeless. Therefore, it was permissible to create a nefesh on Shabbos because it was true pikuach nefesh. It was pikuach nefesh for Shabbos. Shabbos was here, the 7th day was here, but Shabbos would not have survived without the neshama yisera of Shabbos, without the nefesh of Shabbos. So Hashem was allowed to give life to Shabbos. Through creating menucha, he gave a nefesh to Shabbos, and it was necessary to create on Shabbos because it was a case of pikuach nefesh for Shabbos, because without the nefesh, Shabbos would have been dead. It would have been knifeless. Perhaps this is how we learn that Pikuach Nefesh is Doch HaKol. We know that Hashem is Limalame Torah La'amo Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik is a beautiful piece on that, where he says we think there are many teachers, many Rosh Yeshivas, many Rabbeim. He says there is only one teacher, one Rebbe, one Rosh Yeshiva. The voice of God resonated at Sinai, and the voice of God resonates through all generations, through the voice of our mortal teachers. So perhaps that's where Valachta B'drachav, we have to emulate God. So we know Pikuach Nefesh is Doch HaKol. So perhaps we learn it from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. He had to create on Shabbos. What did he create? Menucha. What's Menucha? The Nefesh of Shabbos. Why did he have to create on Shabbos? Because if he didn't create on Shabbos, Shabbos would have ceased to exist. It would have been a lifeless day, and therefore Vayi Nafash. Hashem created Shabbos' Nefesh, and he brought it back to life, or he brought it life, so to speak. And that's what Rashi says. The world was lacking Menucha. And so, yes, Hashem actually created on the seventh day, but it was not a violation because it was Pikuach Nefesh. And this is something that we should feel, that Shabbos gives us Vayi Nafash. We should feel that we are in a state of spiritual Pikuach Nefesh the whole week. And when it comes to Shabbos, we have a restoration, a resurrection of that extra soul within ourselves, when we can tap into not only the Menucha of Shabbos, but the very lifeblood of Shabbos, which gives us Koach and sustenance for the whole entire week. There are four different places in Chumash where Mishkan and Shabbos are connected. Okay, so since we are here in Parak Lamed Aleph, this is Parshas Ki Tisa, and I told you, Parshas Ki Tisa, the beginning at least, is about the Machatzis HaShekel, and they used the silver for the Adonai HaMishkan, the sockets that held up the beams of the Mishkan. And Parshas Ki Tisa, we are told about Bezalel and his wisdom, the master craftsman. We are told about the Kiyar and the Ketores and the Shaman HaMishcha, the anointing oil. So Parshas Ki Tisa is about Mishkan, and has Parak Lamed Aleph conclude the story of Mishkan. So Parakim Lamed and Lamed Aleph and Ki Tisa are all about Mishkan. And then what is the concluding section when it teaches us about Mishkan? So turn back to page 490, Parak Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay. Now I finished telling you about Mishkan. Vayomer Shema Moshe Leimer, Va'ato Daber Al B'nei Yisrael Leimer, Ach, and you should speak to the Bnei Yisrael saying, only my Sabbaths you shall guard, because Shabbos is an os. It is a sign between me and between you for the generations. You should know that I am God who sanctifies you. You shall guard the Sabbath. It is holy to you. He who profanes the Sabbath shall surely die. Kikala also ba malacha, anyone who does work, the nichrasa nefeshahi mikarav amer, that person will be cut off from amongst his nation, of course only if it is pikuach nefesh, and we learn that from God himself. Sheshes yamim yaseh malacha, for 6 days you shall do work. Ubayam shvi shabbat, shabbaton kodesh Hashem, on the seventh day, it is the cessation of all cessation, it is holy to God. Kala osa malacha, bayam shabbos mos you must. Whoever does the work on the day of Sabbath will surely die. Vishamu b'nei yisrael asa shabbos, the children of Israel guarded the Sabbath, asos as a Shabbos to Dorasam, to do the Sabbath for generations, bris olam, an eternal covenant, the Arachayim on that pasuk, Lamed Aleph Tet Zayin. It's a very lengthy Arachayim. He has 10 different interpretations as to what Vishamu B'nei Yisrael as her Shabbos means. I've learned through them and taught them. But just one thing that the Arachayim says there is, that it says in Perek Lamed Zayin, right at the end, Va'avi, Va'yigar Bo Aviv, and then Yaakov chastised Yosef for his dreams. Do you think I and your mother and your brothers will come down to you to the ground? And then it says the last words, a paraglamid zayin, va'aviv shamar es hadavar. His father guarded the matter. So what does it mean, his father shamar es hadavar? It means that there was anticipation, there was hope, there was longing or waiting to see when the dreams of Yosef would come true. So vishamar doesn't only mean to guard, it means to wait, to hope, to long for. So Vishamu B'nei Yisrael Shabbos, one of the 10 interpretations of the Arachayim, is that just like Aviv Shamar Es HaDavar, and the Pshat Yaakov was waiting until the dreams would come true, and the Drash Yitzchak was waiting, and he couldn't tell his son Yaakov that Yosef was really alive, but the Ma'aseh said there was a hope, anticipation, a longing when the dreams would come true. We should hope, anticipate, and long every single week for Shabbos. That's one of the things that the Arachayim teaches on Vishamu. And it's interesting, because when I was learning Parshas Bo, it struck me this year or last year, not this year. It's called Leil Shimurim Hula Hashem. It's a Leil Shimurim Hula Hashem. And it struck me as interesting. Hashem guards, anticipates, waits for this night of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Beini Ubein Bnei Yisrael, Ozhi Le'olam, between me and the children of Israel is a sign forever. Ki Sheshes Yamim, Asar Hashem, Es HaShemayim, Ves HaArts, Uvayam HaShvi, Shavat, Vayinefash. We know that in 6 days, Hashem made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, He continued to create. Why did He create on the seventh day? Putting this together with Perek Beis HaBereishis, He created Menucha on Shabbat. And that Menucha of Shabbos was the Nefesh of Shabbos, and that is Pikuach Nefesh. So that is one place that you see in the Chumash that Mishkan, Mikdash, Mishkan, and Shabbos are intimately connected. The next place this occurs is in Perek Lamed Hey, chapter 35, Pasuk Aleph. Turn to Lamed Hey, which is Vayakel, the beginning of Vayakel, okay, last week. It's page 516, just to be easy, right? Parak Lamed Hey Pasuk Aleph. Vayakel Moshe es kol ados b'nei Yisrael vayomer aleim. So Vayakel, okay, Truma Tetzav, in the beginning of Kitisa, our web, the Mishkan is commanded and the blueprint is given. And now Vayakel and Pekudei are the implementation of these instructions. Everything is built, everything is done, everything is accounted for. And Pekudei, we're told about all the big day kahuna. So how is the topic of Bitzalo and Ohali of actually constructing the Mishkan introduced? Let's see. Vayakel Moshe es kol ados b'nei Yisrael vayomer aleim. Moshe assembled or gathered the entire assembly of the children of Israel, and he said to them, "Ela hadvar mesher tziva Hashem la'asos osam." These are the things that God commanded to do them. Sheishes yamim te'asem melacha. For 6 days you shall do work. Ubayom hashvi, and on the 7th day, yehalachem kodesh Shabbat Shabbaton Hashem. The 7th day shall be for you holy. It is a Sabbath of Sabbaths for God. Kol ha'osa bo melacha you must. Everyone who does work on the Sabbath will die. Lo siv aru eish b'chol mashvi. Kindle a fire in all your dwelling places on Shabbos. So what is Rashi says? What is the connection between Shabbos and Mishkan? That to tell you that being in a Mishkan is not Docha Shabbos. From Mishkan we learn the Lamatas Malachos. The Av Malachos come from what they were doing in Mishkan to build the Mishkan. So you might think Mishkan is so important. It is so important. But when Shabbos comes, it's not a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. And so when Shabbos comes, you have to stop building the Mishkan. But it's interesting. Parshas Vayakel is going to be about the construction of Mishkan. And how is it introduced? Shabbos. Parshas Ki Tisha is about Mishkan. And how is it concluded, the chapter on Mishkan? Shabbos. Now let's look, flip to Parshas Kedoshim, which is in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Tes. Perek Yud Tes in Vayikra. Here we go. Pasuk Lamed. Page 664. I could just read you the pasuk if you don't want to turn, or if you want to see, because you're here. Vayikra Kedoshim Yud Tas Lamid. Es Shabsosai Tishmeru, my Sabbaths you shall guard, Umikdashi Tirau, you shall revere my sanctuary, Ani Hashem, I am God. Once again, we have Shabbos and Mishkan put right next to each other. So there is clearly a very deep connection between these two topics of the sanctuary for God and Shabbos Kodesh. And one more time, in Parakha Vav of Vayikra, which is Bichukosai, here we go, page 708. No, just joking. My mistake. It's the last pasuk of Bahar. Bichukosai begins Chav Vav Gimel. The last pasuk of Bahar, which is page 706, as Shabsosai Tishmeru, my Sabbaths you shall guard, Umikdashi Tirau, and my Mikdash you shall revere, I am Hashem, I am the Lord. So we see that there are two very important concepts to the Ribon Sholom. There's the concept of Mishkan / Mikdash, and then there is the concept of Shabbos. We now go to a very beautiful piece by Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal. Okay? And he begins with a pasuk from Parshas Vayakha, which is last week's pasuk. In normal years, when it's not an Ibra Shana, of course, Vayakha and Pekudei go together. Vayakha Moshe as ka adas pnei Yisrael, vayomer elem elad varim asher tziva Hashem la'asos ozom. We saw all these pasukim. We looked, we began in Bereishis, then we went to Kitisha, then we went to Vayakha, then we went to Kedoshim, and then we went to Bahar. So it's a repeated theme. Now you have to remember, there's reasons for everything in the Torah. Hashem is emphasizing to us this strong connection between Shabbos and Mishkan / Mikdash. Vayakha Moshe is called Adas B'nei Yisrael. Vayomer Elem Ela Dvarim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asos Osam. Moshe gathered, or he assembled, the entire congregation of Israel, and he said to them, the verse uses the plural to introduce the subsequent topics. Ela HaDvarim Asher Tziva. I'm back in Vayakha 35 Paraklam, and hey, Pasuk off if you're interested in turning. The verse uses the plural. Ela HaDvarim Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos Osam. We're talking about plural. And immediately after, the Torah describes Shabbos. It doesn't start talking about Mishkan. It's talking about Shabbos. Like we saw, Sheshes Yamim Te'asem Elacha. For 6 days you shall do work. U'bayam HaShviyi Alachem Kodesh. On the seventh day it will be holy. Shabbat Shabbaton. Everyone who does work will die. Subsequently, the Torah goes on to describe donations for the Mishkan. Therefore, says the Rav, what do we conclude? That the plural expression of Ela HaDvarim Asher Tziva Hashem La'asos Osam, these are the things, which is a plural lashon, must include and introduce both Shabbos and Mishkan. So that introduction to Vayakha, Perak Lamed Hey, the beginning psukim, which tells us about the construction of Mishkan, Moshe is introducing two topics to us, because otherwise it would be in Lashon Yachid. Ela HaDavar Asher Dibra Hashem La'asos Oso. If it was just talking about Shabbos, that's what it would say. If it was just talking about Mishkan, that's what it would say. The fact that it's included in the plural means he's talking about Shabbos and Mishkan. So, says the Rav, Moshe is introducing through the Ela HaDavarim both Shabbos and Mishkan. In fact, the Torah introduces the discussion of Mishkan using the same language as in the first sentence of the parasha, Zeh HaDavar. This is the thing. And that is from Pasuk Dalet here. Vayomer Moshe Kadas B'nei Yisrael Leimor, Zeh HaDavar Asher Tziva Hashem Leimor. This terminology assumes a connection between Shabbos and Binyan HaMishkan. And then he says there are three other places, and I showed them all to you, in the Torah, where Mishkan and Shabbos is connected. In Parshas Ki Tisa, after describing Betzalel and Ohaliev, where the master craftsmen from the tribe of Yehuda and Dan, respectively, the Torah turns to the subject of Shabbos, like we saw, Ach eshabsosai tishmeru, only my Sabbath you shall guard. We see the same link, says the Rav, between tabernacle and Shabbos. In Parshas Ki Tisa, the tabernacle precedes Shabbos, and in Parshas Pekudei, in Parshas Ki Tisa, the Mishkan precedes the conclusion of Shabbos, and in Vayakha, Shabbos precedes what's coming with Mishkan. The sages are concerned. What does it mean, Ach, as Shabbosai Tishmu? So back in, so hot. Is anyone else hot, or is it just me?
A little bit.
No, I'm asking you seriously. Is it hot in here? It's because I'm teaching. It's me. Holy moly.
You're under,
okay.
You're under the light.
What? You're right. You're right. I forgot. Whenever I stand under those lights, thank you. Yeah, it makes me hotter. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Back in Ki Tisa, if you turn to page 490, and we already looked at this subject, it's Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayom Hashem El Moshe Leimor. Okay, I went back to Ki Tisa, Parak Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. Va'at ha'daber al b'nei Yisrael leimor, ach, eshabsosai tishkmu. What is ach? We already spoke about what it means to be Shomer Shabbos based on the Or HaChaim. But what does ach mean? Why doesn't Hashem just say to b'nei Yisrael, eshabsosai tishkmu? Now, one word in the Chumash is superfluous. Why do you need the word ach? But, or only my Sabbath you should guard. So what is the ach? So Rav Soloveitchik says, the sages are concerned with this term ach, because we know that every word in the Chumash, in Tanakh, is of great significance. They conclude that despite the excitement over the construction of Mishkan, the Mishkan does not override the Sabbath. So, ach, Hashem, so say Tishmi, only my Sabbath you shall guard. Do not think that guarding the Sabbath comes at the, that building the Mishkan comes at the expense of Shabbos. Build the Mishkan. Ach, Hashem, so say Tishmu. Build the Mishkan, beginning of Kitisa, but when it comes to Shabbos, stop building the Mishkan on Shabbos, but you shall only rest. Furthermore, in Parshas Kedoshim, like we saw, the Torah reiterates this connection. Eshab so say tishmu u'mikdashi tirau ani Hashem. Again, the sages say that this pasuk enjoins us from constructing the sanctuary on Shabbos. Like we saw from Rabbi Dr. Twersky, the only thing we're allowed to do on Shabbos in terms of work is something that will involve pichuach nefesh. And finally, Parshas Bahar ends with the verse, again, you shall observe my Sabbath, revere my sanctuary, I am the Lord. There are four places where the Torah links Shabbos with the tabernacle. I thought of something. Why four places? I thought of something. Why in four places? If Hashem wanted, it would have been three. If he wanted, it could have been five. If he wanted, it could have been six. If he wanted, it could have been 10. Everything is significant, like I always try and stress and reiterate to all of us. So I just thought of something I think is very profound. We know by the Bris Bein Habsarim, when Avram Avinu saw in Perek Tesvav a Bereishis, the image of the, I don't know, the Nevuah, the great Nevuah, and Hashem promised him, Golos. And the beginning of the Nevuah, it says, Vayihi Hashemesh Lavo, Vaterdema Nafal Al Avraham, Vihine Emech Hashocha Gedola Nofeles Alav. And then Hashem told him, Ger Yezarecha, Beretz Lolohem, Vavadim Vinu Osam, Arba Meoshana, Vagamasa Gaisha Yavodu Dananochi. We recite this in Nagadash HaPesach. V'acharichei Netzir B'chush Gadol. But the sages say, the Medrash says, and many of the Mefarshim commentaries on Chumash and the Mikvos Gadolos quote the Medrash, what is Ema, a fear, Cheshecha, a darkness from the word Choshech, Nofeles, Alafa, Ema, Cheshecha, Gadola, Nofeles, a deep, dark fear fell upon him. When the sun set, it's dark, even though we learned already that darkness is its own creation. So the Medrash says there that Avram was shown an image of the Arba Golios. He saw not just Golos Mitzrayim, but by the Bris Bein Habsarim, he was shown an image of the Arba Golios. Four exiles that the Bnei Yisrael would undergo. We are in the last and final exile, which is Golos Romi. So perhaps Edom, the longest of all the exiles. Bavel, Paros, Madai, Yavan, and Golos Romi. So perhaps four times Mikdash and Shabbos are linked in the Chumash and not a different number to teach us that the key to surviving Golos, even though the Mikdash has been destroyed, and Golos represents an absence of Makom HaMikdash, and Golos represents a distance between us and God. If you want to survive through the Arba Golios, the one thing you must remember is that Shabbos takes precedence over everything, even Mishkan. Because when it comes to building the Mishkan, ach, as Shabbos say tishmu. Sure, Mishkan's important, but you know what's more important? Shabbos. In four places, it's linked, perhaps, corresponding to the Arba Golios. Hashem is giving us the secret to our survival. Four times represents four different Golios that we would go through. And if we want to get through the Golios in the absence of Mishkan, what we need for this Arba Golios is to hold on to Shabbos. Through the four times Shabbos is linked to Mishkan, we will be able to survive this situation of Arba Golios. Okay. Going back to Rav Soloveitchik, what is the nature of these intertwined concepts? These two concepts of Shabbos and Mishkan, what is the nature of these intertwined concepts? The answer is fundamental, says the Rav. Both Shabbos and Mishkan constitute sanctuaries. Shabbos is a sanctuary, and Mishkan is a sanctuary, Mishkan slash Mikdash. However, what is the difference between these two sanctuaries? What is the difference in the nature between the two? Shabbos is a sanctuary in time, and Mishkan is a sanctuary in space. Quote, both Shabbos and Tabernacle constitute sanctuaries. One is a sanctuary in time, and the other is a sanctuary in space. What does that mean? Shabbos is a sanctuary in time. As we move through time, you count, and when you get to every seventh day, what do you have? Shabbos. On the other hand, Mikdash is a sanctuary in space. There is a locale, a location, a geographic point. Avram says to the lads traveling with him, do you see the cloud over there on top of that mountain? He saw Makom HaMikdash. They said, we don't see anything. He said, you don't see the cloud? We don't see a cloud. He says, good, you stay with the donkey. Hadom Alachamar. You stay here with the donkey. I'm going yonder. What is Mishkan / Mikdash? It is a sanctuary in space. It's a geographic location. There's a place, a defining place from Google Maps or Rahman al-Sun that says, this is Temple Mount. On the other hand, what is Shabbos? Shabbos is not according to location. Shabbos is according to time. My son was just telling me last night that it was like 10 o'clock and I had a lineup of kids. I was still waiting to talk about things. I still had work to do. No, this year was written before midnight. Other work to do last night late. So he was telling me that Yossi Mendelovich, one of the most famous refuseniks, am I saying, is that the correct name? Yeah. He spoke to them yesterday in Darche, and my son was very enamored, and he was telling me a lot about what he spoke about. And one thing that he spoke about to the boys was, he spoke to the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th grades in Yeshiva Darche Torah, and one of the things he spoke about was Shabbos. He refused to work on Shabbos. So, again, I wasn't there, and it was very late, so if I'm saying the details wrong, it's on my part. But this definitely, my son said, he wouldn't work on Shabbos. Absolutely refused. They transferred him to another place, another camp. He would not work on Shabbos. So they put him in solitary confinement. And he was, how do you not go crazy, Rahman al-Sun, in solitary confinement? So he would daven by heart. He obviously didn't have a sitter. Whatever he remembered, he would daven by heart. He would daven and talk for hours and hours to keep his mind from going crazy. Finally, they came to let him out. They said, you could come out, but it's Shabbos. We're only letting you out of solitary confinement on the condition that you work on Shabbos. He said, no, I'm not coming out. They put him back in solitary confinement. And again, they left him there. They came back and they said, you can come out. But it was Shabbos. He said, no, I'm not working on Shabbos. And it happened for I don't know how long. I repeat, this part of the story was definitely as my son said it. Until they finally realized that he's not going to give in. Another thing my son said, they tried in communist Russia to break the spirit so much. You know, under the cap that the prisoners had to wear, he had to wear a yarmulke. And when his father would come visit him, I don't know how often they were allowed to have a visitor. I can't imagine so often. Whenever his father would come, they say, your father's here, but if you want to go see your father, you have to take off your yarmulke. And he refused to take off his yarmulke, and he never saw his father. And they would tell his father, your son's not behaving, your son is, rebelling. And his father would write him letters saying, please behave better. They tell me you're not behaving. And he could never write back to his father because, of course, they censored everything that he wrote. But the Jew stands up for Shabbos, and Shabbos keeps our survival. And what is Shabbos? It's not dependent upon Google Maps, this precise location. That's Mishkan / Mikdash. My daughter just told me. Was it my daughter told me? Yeah, I think it was my daughter told me. They went to Yericho. Was it my daughter? I think so. Hopefully she's not listening to the show. And they saw the place where the Mishkan stood, I think. And they saw, someone just told me, they saw a place where the Mishkan stood. So that is a geographical location. That is a sanctuary in space. And Shabbos is a sanctuary in time. We must construct both of these sanctuaries for God. God wants the Jews to establish a residence for him in our lives, both in space and in time. Both are required. In four places, they're linked because Hashem wants a sanctuary in space. He also wants us to make a sanctuary in time. Quote, the Jew has prepared properly for Shabbos and is about to light the candles, finds himself in the same position as the Jew of 2,000 years ago, prepared to enter the sanctuary. Everything that you read about in Vayalko and Pekudei, that they constructed. This week is Pekudei, all the big day kahuna. Shalo yamal buscha shal Shabbos, shamal buscha shal chol. So they don special garments, conserve in the sanctuary. We don special garments for Shabbos. They had a shulchan with lacham hapanim, we have a shulchan with lacham hamishnah. They had the menorah, we have the Shabbos candles. They had the shechina, we say bo'acham l'shalom, alache esharis, we welcome the shechina into our home. The Jew who has prepared properly for Shabbos and is about to light his candles finds himself in the same position as the Jew of 2,000 years ago who is prepared to enter the sanctuary. Hashem is mitzamtzem. We've spoken about tzimtzum here extensively. God contracts himself. He squeezes infinity into finitude and he chooses to dwell amongst human beings. Kaviyacha. between the two kruvim, on top of the kapores, between the two kruvim. So that is where God dwells. First, he was mitzamtzem into the Mishkan, and later into the Beis HaMikdash. On the one hand, this is a paradox, says Rav, infinity separates the human being from God. Infinity separates us from God. On the other hand, God is so very close to his people, and finitude can touch infinity. Shabbos embodies this idea as well. On Friday night, to welcome Shabbos, we say, L'chadodi likras kala, come my beloved, let us go. L'chadodi, let us go my beloved, likras kala, let us greet the bride. On Shabbos, God pays us a visit. He was mitzamtzem to dwell in the sanctuary. He is mitzamtzem to dwell in our homes on Shabbos. The festivals and Shabbos, what is the difference between the Shalosh Regalim and Shabbos? On the Shalosh Regalim, it's right at the end of Parshas Kitisa, actually. Also in these Parshas Kitisa, it tells us about the Shalosh Regalim. Shalosh Parmim Bashana, then the Paraglam Medalit, Yira'eh Kol Zechorchas, Penei Adon Hashem. 3 times a year, we go up to Hashem's house. So on the Shalosh Regalim, on the festivals, we go up to see God in his house. On Shabbos, we stay home, and God comes to see us in our homes. Lechadodi represents the Shechina, who is knocking on our doors. On Shabbos, God visits the Jewish people, while on the festivals, we visit God. The Gemara, he quotes from the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, records 2 versions of a story about Rabbi Yannai. In one version, Rabbi Yannai would wrap himself in his garment, and he would turn and say, come, O bride, Bo'i Kala. In the other version, he would walk to the edge of the field to greet the Shabbos queen. The idea of sanctuary in space and sanctuary in time makes it clear why the Torah in 4 different places links these 2 ideas. The Shabbos and the Mishkan, Hashem is teaching us in the realm of space, you create a sanctuary for me to dwell amongst you. And in the realm of time, you create a sanctuary for me to dwell amongst you. And we already proposed why 4 different places, because I think it must be brought down somewhere, because it sounds like it's MS. If there are Arba Golios, and the Jew has to get through Arba Golios, the key to getting through the Arba Golios is they came to him, the Yossi Mendelash. I can't begin to fathom the courage and the bravery. I can't even begin to fathom. You can get out of solitary confinement, but at Shabbos, you have to work. And he said no. So they left him another week. You can come out, no. And another week, no. Ach, es Shabbosai Tishmeru. The work is very important, but it is not doche, the sanctuary, when God comes in time, so to speak, to dwell amongst us. But there is a difference, says the Rav, between the sanctity of Shabbos and that of the Mishkan / Mikdash. The sanctity of Mikdash can never disappear. Although the physical temple was destroyed, the Shekhinah is always there. Right? The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Hinei Zaomeid Achar Kosoleinu, Mashkiach Min HaChalonos, Meitzitz Min HaCharikim. I believe it's Shir HaShirim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Hei. This one stands behind our wall, peering out of the windows, peering through the lattices. A Medrash Rabba says that Hashem Shekhinah never left the Kosa HaMaravi. So the sanctity of Mikdash can never be disappear. The physical temple was destroyed, but the Shekhinah is always there. But the Shekhinah of Mikdash was of a transcendental nature. It transcends this world. At the end of Parshas Pekudei, this week's Parsha, which we're going to turn to, as soon as the Mishkan was completed, a cloud of glory hovered over it by day and a pillar of fire by night. Let's look at the end of Pekudei, which is this week's Parsha. It's page 540. Okay, turn to the end of Perek Mem. Turn to the very end of your home. Turn to the very, very end of Shemos. Okay? Vayichas ha'anan es ohal moed. The cloud covered the ohal moed. Ukvod Hashem maleyes ha'mishkan. The glory of God filled the Mishkan. V'lo yachal Moshe levo al ohal moed. Ki shachan alav ha'anan. Moshe could not come into the tent of meeting after all their labor and their collections and their instructions and the blueprints and the parshas that we love, and no, I'm not lying, and all the hard work. Ukvod Hashem maleyes ha'mishkan. The glory of God filled the Mishkan. Uveha alos ka'anameyal. Mishkan yisu b'nei Yisrael b'chom maserim v'im lo yala ha'anan v'lo yisu ara yom hela. So ki anan Hashem ala mishkan yomam. This is the pasuk that the Rav now quotes. This is the whole pasuk of the conclusion of the entire Sefer Knos and the conclusion of binyan ha'mishkan. Ki anan Hashem ala mishkan yomam. The cloud of God was upon the mishkan by day. Ve'esh ti'alai labo, and a fire was there at night. Le'ine kol beis Yisrael b'chol maserim, before the eyes of the entire house of Israel in all of their journeys. It's also particularly interesting that here the Torah uses Lashon Beis Yisrael, because that is not so often used. The more common term used, of course, is the B'nei Yisrael. That is what we more commonly expect the Torah to say the Eine called B'nei Yisrael. Beis is an interesting choice in this case, perhaps being because what we just built for God is the bias for Hashem. So Hashem is saying, you just built a house for me, now I will, mita kenegan mita, reward you and build a house for you. If you build my house, I will ensure that your house, the Beis Yisrael, will continue until perpetuity. Am I saying it right? Yeah, for eternity, the Beis Yisrael will be established and successful as long as we build the bias for Hashem. So it's not, again, an accident that doesn't say B'nai Yisrael. So this is the whole conclusion of Sefer Shemos. And Sefer Shemos is Sefer HaGeula. Remember, each of the Chamishei Chumshei Torah have a different appellation. Appellation for Shemos is Sefer HaGeula. So you see, what is the conclusion? What's the climax of Geula? It wasn't Yetzias Mitzrayim. Physical redemption. It wasn't even Matan Torah. God could give you the Torah. You do nothing with it. You don't have Geula. Matan Torah is the giving of the Torah, but if you don't do anything with the Torah, so you don't yet have spiritual redemption. It wasn't all the instructions for Mishkan. Finally, when the Mishkan was concluded and Hashem's presence filled our world, the bias we made for Him, this is truly the epicenter of Geula. The whole purpose of the whole Sefer Shemos is to bring us to this point, and that is the truest redemption. Going back to Rav Soloveitchik and where he quotes this pasuk, at the end of Parshas Pekudei, says the Rav, as soon as the Mishkan was completed, there was a cloud of glory by day and a pillar of fire by night. The Shekhinah was both a physical light, they were able to see this fire. Remember, there's a physicality to the Shekhinah that we can't detect, but in biblical times, certainly, Avram Avinu said, Vayar Esamakom Merachok, he saw God from afar. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the fire in the burning bush. The Bnei Yisrael saw the fire by day and the cloud by night. There's a physical light. There's also Hashem is a spiritual experience. And that's something that hopefully in our lives we tap into, even though we don't direct, we don't have Nevuah anymore. And we don't see the physical experience of God. I'm not talking about seeing Hashem in a tree or seeing Hashem in a rainbow. I mean like really seeing the Shekhinah. We should all be partaking of the spiritual experience of benefiting, so to speak, from the revelation of Hashem in our lives. The Shekhinah was outside of nature and defied the laws of causality. For the Mishkan, I'm probably saying that wrong also, for the Mishkan was nothing less than an ongoing miracle that transcended the natural order. It was a miracle that the fire was never extinguished. It was a miracle that Hashem dwelt between the two Kruvim. In contrast, Shabbos demonstrates that so Mishkan represents above the natural order. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells you in Pirkei, all of the miracles that happened, a woman never miscarried from the smell, there were never flies in the slaughterhouse, the fire was never extinguished, no one ever said, Sarli Amakum Sha'alim B'Yerushalayim. The sanctuary in space was of a transcendental, above nature experience. What about Shabbos, the Mishkan in time? Shabbos demonstrates God's presence on a natural level. You don't need to leave the natural realm. Hashem comes to your house. It's your house. It's your food. It's your place. Everything is in nature. And yet the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to dwell with us. Just as God reveals himself through transcending the natural order, miracles, God also reveals himself in the order of nature. One can experience God through the blue sky and the flowering bush. All this is enhanced by the awareness of Shabbos, which epitomizes the natural order at rest. Vayachulu, to go back to where we started Shir, Vayachulu Hashemayim v'arts v'chol tzva'am. Vayachalokim b'yamashvim melachto ha'shasa. At the conclusion of the nature, at the conclusion of the creation of the natural order, Hashem created Shabbos. So Shabbos represents Hashem's mark in nature. Mishkan represents Hashem's mark, l'mala min ha'teva. Last week when we pulled up to the house where we were staying, we had lovely hosts. We hadn't met them yet, but The sky was like, you know when the sky is dark on one side and light on the other side? So I don't lie. So I promise that on the way there, I was thinking to myself, this is the kind of sky that looks like when you see a rainbow. I didn't say it aloud to my husband, but that's what I was thinking. Anyway, so we got there like 20 minutes before Shabbos. That wasn't a far commute, Baruch Hashem. So as we rang the doorbell, I look up, and what do I see? A rainbow. So she opens the door. My husband's like, Micha, I'm standing there making a bracha. So I think that, like, they're not coming in. It was a little funny. But okay, after I went in, and they were lovely people, I don't think she thought anything. I don't know if she knew what I was doing, because you're not supposed to point out a rainbow, which is an issayim for me. But Baruch Hashem, I didn't actually point it out to anybody last Erev Shabbos. So Shabbos represents Hashem in nature, and Mishkan represents Hashem, l'mala min ha-teva, and God exists in both realms. And we can access the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, in both realms. When we go up to the Mishkan / Mikdash, we access Hashem's miracles. Omdim tzufufim mishtachavim revachim. How was there room for everybody? It was so squishy. But then, yeah, when they bow down, there was room for everyone. But Shabbos is at the end of the natural order of creation. Shabbos represents Hashem's stamp in nature. Shabbos and Mikdash, therefore, are two antithetical poles. Shabbos embodies the natural, while Mikdash embodies the supernatural. When we read the story of how God gave Moshe the blueprint for the Mishkan, which we have spent so much time going through, we encounter the word Ach. Ach, as Shabso said, Tishkm, Kitisa, from which our sages derive that the construction of the tabernacle does not override Shabbos. Quote, what do we learn from here practically, besides the fact that they couldn't build the Mishkan on Shabbos? We have survived 2,000 years without the Beis HaMikdash, but we could never have survived without Shabbos. That's a quote. We have survived 2,000 years. Ach, as Shabso say, Tishnu. As important as Mishkan is, it's not the thing that's going to carry you through the survival of Arba Golios. It's very important. We daven every day for it to be rebuilt. We tear Kriya when we see the Beis HaMikdash, Shu'alam Hilchubo. You have to tear Kriya when you go there. You have to say a pasuk. Rabbi Shachter told me a few years ago, I have it saved, what you have to say. And you cry. Because the Mikdash still today lays in ruin. How are we still here? Ach, as Shabso say Tishmu, v'shamu b'nei Yisrael Shabbos. As Shabso say Tishmu, mikdashi tiro ani Hashem. And I think that the four places it's written teaches us something fundamental. Yes, there are going to be Arba Golios, says Ribbono Shel Olam, and yes, it's going to be very difficult to get to them. There was Bavel, Paros Madai, we're coming up to Purim, Paros Madai, Yavan, and ultimately Galus Edom, Romi. Here we are. But if you want to know how you get through the four, I give you the hint in the Torah. Ach, as Shabso say Tishmru, u'mikdashi tira'u ani Hashem. We have survived 2,000 years without the Beis HaMikdash, but we could never have survived without Shabbos. In light of this distinction, God's words to Moshe at the beginning of Vayaka, which we looked at, Perek Lamed Hey, Ela hadvarim, plural, asher tziva Hashem la'asos osam. There are two principal commandments which God is introducing at the beginning of Vayaka, right before Betzalel and Eliyahu get to work, Shabbos and Mishkan. Quote, however, Jewish survival is not bound up with Mishkan. Mishkan is lofty, Mishkan is important, I'm quoting the Rav. We must remember, ach, Shabbos is essential to Jewish survival. Shabbos is strong, and I think this takes us back to Rabbi Dr. Twersky. Shabbos is a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh for who? Knesset Yisrael. Mishkan is a tragedy. Mishkan is a loss. Shavat misos libeinu nehapach le'eva mecholeinu. Maybe there's an allusion there. In light of today's whole shiur. Shavat misos libeinu nehapach le'eva mecholeinu. I just thought of something else. It's in Perek Hei of Eicha. Shabbos will restore the sos to your lave. It really means on the pshat, when talking about the churban, shavat misos libeinu, the joy in our hearts has ceased. But perhaps it's telling you something else as well. Shavat misos libeinu. If you want to know how to return susun to your heart in the absence of Beis HaMikdash, the answer is Shabbos. Shabbos is misos libeinu. Whoo! Shabbos is, we're on fire today. It's mamish unbelievable. Whoo! Not learning Torah is pikuach nefesh, also. Literally. literally spiritually pekuach nefesh. I like that. Shavat misos libenu, because of churban, the joy in our hearts has ceased. But the dual meaning is Shabbos is misos libenu. Shabbos will restore the susum to your heart, even in the absence of Mishkan. Is Mishkan important? Yes. Do we love these parshos? Yes. Are they relevant to our lives? We spent 3 weeks on the Ketores Kuzbeh Chazav. Are they relevant to our lives? 1,000%. If you think they're boring, well, I feel bad for you. No, I'm not joking. Nabuch. Do some proper learning. You don't understand. You don't know what you're missing. Journey through them. Understand that it's not antiquated. Ach, as Shabbos I tishchu. Shabbos is what ensures our survival through the Arba Golios. While the Mishkan is lofty and important, we must remember Shabbos is essential to Jewish survival. And so Shabbos is stronger. The Rav concludes by saying, of course, we pray that soon we will experience both. So don't take out, you know, Yerushalayim Yircha Barachim Tashu from your Shmona Esrei. I'm not recommending that. That's not what you should do. However, we certainly see from the sources that we have quoted today, not from the learning we have done very in-depth today, that what precedes, what supersedes Mishkan is Shmira Shabbos. And to go back to Rabbi Dr. Tversky, why was Hashem allowed to create on Shabbos? What was Shabbos missing? Maha olam chaser, maya olam olam chaser, menucha. Ba Shabbos, bas menucha. And what does the Pasuk say in Ki Tisha? Vayinafash. Hashem made a nefesh for Shabbos on Shabbos. Yes, on the seventh day he created something. Because without Shabbos, Knesset Yisrael would not have a nefesh. Shabbos would not be alive. Shabbos would not have a soul. And if Shabbos did not have a soul, it becomes pikuach nefesh for us. Because then we would not be here. Without Mishkan, we could be here. Without Mikdash, we could be here. Rachman Litzlan, it's not ideal. It's a disaster. You have to tear kriya and cry. We have Tisha B'Av and you sit on the floor. But when you recite Lamentations, you have a chizuk. Shabbos is the misos libenu, and the absence of Mishkan, and it is that that will get you through the Arba Golios. Once again, I return to my childhood memories. In Warsaw, we lived 3 houses away from a Majester Shtibel. Generally, I would go to the Majester Shtibel for Sudash Lishi. They would sing all this Miros for Shalosh Shuras. Poor Jews would be seated around the table in the shtibel. The Majester Shtibel was located in a poor district in Warsaw. My father could not afford to live in a more affluent area. This was a neighborhood where many Jews worked as porters. There was a large iron gate in Warsaw where all the porters who looked for employment gathered. I always say in Warsaw, I saw sights I have never seen since. You would see a large closet or buffet that seemed to be walking on its own. The Jewish porter who was carrying the furniture was totally bent over at a 90-degree angle. It seemed as if the furniture was walking by itself with feet coming out of the closet. I knew these Jews well and I constantly spoke to them. They were sincerely pious Jews. They sacrificed for spiritual commitment. Do we sacrifice? The Jews in Ukraine are sacrificing. My son sent me a video of matzah baking in Ukraine. Did anyone see it? It said, war or nowhere, Pesach is coming. Do we sacrifice for our spiritual survival? Do we sacrifice like Yossi Mendelovich? Do we sacrifice? I once spoke with one of them who was frail and short. He constantly carried metal pieces, and I wondered, where did he get the physical strength to support this load? His load was always tied around him with a thick cord. He resembled a coolie. I don't know, it's probably not a politically correct word today, but okay. I don't think that the Rav in 1974 was concerned. On the Sabbath, I saw this very Jew, and on the Sabbath, I could not recognize him. He came over to me in a tattered kapata. It was covered in endless patches, and the patches had patches, yet his face shone with the joy of Shabbos. I recognized in him, in a tangible fashion, that a person's Shabbos countenance is totally different than his weekday appearance. And so I asked him in the Majester Shtibel, so when will we daven Maariv? And he answered, what is with you? You are already longing for the weekday to begin? What do you mean, when will we daven Maariv? Are we lacking anything now? When these Jews would sing B'nei Hechela at the end of Shalosh Shuras, they were singing about themselves. When they sang Kapitel Chav Gimel, he makes me lie down in green pastures. They knew there were no green pastures outside of their shtibel. There were many vicious Poles who were anxious to participate in pogroms against the Jews. They were desirous of taking away any chance for these poor Jews to earn a livelihood. The Jews knew this, and they could not depart from Shabbos. They sang the refrain, and they repeated it again and again. They only wanted to remain with Shabbos. They lived the concept of Tosefah Shabbos. This was truly the fulfillment of the halacha. We add from the profane, and we make it holy. The halacha represents a deep longing, a great experience, the overwhelming longing and yearning of the Jew for the sanctity of Shabbos. I'm going to end by quoting the last pasuk from Pekudei, which we already looked at. Ki anan Hashem al mishkan yomam, ve'eshti alayla bo, ve'enin kol beis Yisrael, b'chol maseyem, chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, we should halavai bizocha, that we should bizocha to binyan by yishlishi, when we will reside with the Ribono Sh'olam, in the sanctuary in time, and both in the sanctuary in space. So just a calendar reminder, there's no shiur next week. I will be away. I announced in the beginning, but there are far fewer people here. I'll be away next week, and the week after that is Purim. So we are off for 2 weeks. That means the next time we meet here, Be'ezrat Hashem, will be Thursday, March the 24th. I wish everybody again chodesh and a very freilich in Purim. Kol tov, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for joining in person and on Zoom as well.